As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject that you will find in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1, and the second half of the 21st verse. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Chapter 1, the Gospel according to Matthew, and the second half of the 21st verse. It could be said, it should be said, that this word is the most wonderful word recorded in the Word of God, although there are many wonderful words recorded therein. But this subject that I desire to say a little on as grace is given is the most important that can ever engage our thoughts. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. And now it is to do with the coming of Jesus Christ into this world. And that he was born a babe, as Joseph Hart, the hymn writer, refers to it, born a babe by birth, mysterious. You must never reason about it. And you must not cavil at it, but you must seek divine aid to believe it and to appreciate it. And do remember that it is indeed a blessed reality that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. My mind seemed to be directed to this subject because in the week I was reading in the daily paper how Jesus Christ is being assailed by those who profess to be preachers of the gospel and who stand in pulpits week in, week out to do it, and yet they declare, even so-called bishops, archbishops too, that the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is a myth. And now, any man who speaks like that is a man who has no authority to be where he is in a pulpit to preach the gospel. And he is not ordained of God to do so. And I began to think of this subject, and I wondered how I could bring before you, dear young people, as the Lord should help me, some proof that you could understand that Jesus Christ was of a truth born into this world, and that he came to be seen among men as verily man, verily God, and that he came to do a work which his Father ordained that he should do. And now, strange to say, the one proof I just want to bring before you ere I come to open up the subject as my mind runs to do it is a very simple one. And it might be at first you will hardly be able to receive it or believe it. And now, the fact that Jesus Christ was born a babe long ago at the time appointed, and that the angels did sing in the silent night, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The fact that the world is like it is, with all its woe and wickedness, and God endures it. If Jesus Christ did not come down into this world to seek and to save sinners, the world would have been blotted out, because the wickedness of man upon the earth is very great. But God endures it. And why? It is said of Jesus Christ, it is a beautiful word, too deep for you dear young people to understand, I fear. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And now God endures the world being like it is, so wicked, and every day it seems to get yet more wicked, because he has got yet many more people to call by grace. And there is a word concerning it in the second epistle of Peter, which I will read to you. Do listen. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And now, here is the world as you see it, full of chaos and confusion. But as God sees it, he sees no chaos and confusion like you do. What he sees is his purposes being fulfilled every day, all day. And he sees this word being fulfilled. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. And now, you dear young people, do keep that thought uppermost in your minds. And remember that it is a sure proof that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, because God has still got many sinners to save, and they are being saved in the world, north, south, east and west, and there are many more yet to be born to be saved. And therefore it speaks in this word, is long-suffering to usward. God suffers all the wickedness of the world at large. Whereas if he had no further purposes to fulfill regarding the Church of Christ, he would blot it out. Do try to ponder that in your heart, because I say it is an indisputable proof that Christ into this world came down, and he has much more work yet to be done in his great name. And therefore, if you hear men, scripture teachers, bishops, archbishops, and others supposed to be preachers telling you the virgin birth is a myth, do you turn your backs upon them and believe what the Word of God declares. And it says now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise, and you can read about it in this opening chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And it would do you good to read it, and better still, it would do you much more good if you should be helped to believe it. And if you should be helped to go to Bethlehem and see the great thing that came to pass there, and feel like one hymn writer did when he said, lowly babe, we fall before thee. Jesus, thee we would adore. To thee kingdom, power and glory be ascribed for evermore. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now I want to look at this subject from one or two viewpoints. And there is a scripture which speaks like this concerning the name of Jesus that it is a name which is above every name. And I've sometimes looked into the Word of God concerning the name of Jesus, and you will find that in the sacred pages there are given to the name of Jesus adjectives that you cannot, dare not use of any other man, because they would not be fitting. And now, the name of Jesus is said to be a holy name, a worthy name, an excellent name, a great name, a glorious name, a blessed name, an everlasting name. And it is said to be a wonderful name. And now you cannot put those adjectives to man, however he may seem to shine in the eyes of his fellow creatures. You cannot speak of him as being holy. No, no. It belongs to Jesus Christ. It belongs to his name, the name of Jesus. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. I do hope you will find that pondering this subject, especially when you get home and in days to come, that you might ponder it in your hearts and find it is an acceptable meditation. You see, dear young people, you and I need saving. And this is a great truth. Myself I cannot save. Myself I cannot keep. But strength in thee I fain would have, whose eyelids never sleep. And now, in opening up this subject, I would just refer to three words in connection with it. And this may not be quite a straightforward address like I sometimes usually give, but I do hope it might be helpful. And now, it says in our text, he shall save his people from their sins. And now, what a thing to ponder and think about is sin. The Word of God speaks about it. And I like to think how one hymn writer refers to it. And he says, 'tis palsy, dropsy, fever, and madness, all combined, and none but a believer, the least relief, confined. Men nowadays seek to try and explain away sin, but it is a reality. And you and I came into the world sinners. And whatever man may seek to do in regard to it, it will make no improvement. It will not alter the fact that you and I are sinners and shall be as long as we live. And at the end of life's journey, a grave must be digged for all that is mortal of us to be laid therein, because you and I are sinners. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And now sin is a disease. I've sometimes told you, in some addresses, that it is likened to leprosy in the Old Testament, and that was indeed a very foul disease. It was a dreadful matter for a poor creature to be attacked with leprosy. And as soon as the evidence of it began to appear, he had to wear a covering on his upper lip. And wherever he went about, he had to cry as he went along, "Unclean, unclean," so that others should keep separate from whereabouts he was, and not be contaminated thereby. And now that is a very solemn consideration. But I must tell you this, that when a sinner is born again and he begins to feel what the Word of God says, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, he finds that sin is just to him like a fretting leprosy. And all he can say, but he says it before God, is unclean, unclean. To thee I come a sinner great, and well thou knowest all my state, yet full forgiveness is with thee. O God, be merciful to me. I do wonder how many of you, dear young people, in your approaches to God, feel sin to be like that, so that you have to take off Isaiah's words, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And now, going back to the Old Testament and the subject of leprosy, it was set forth, first of all, as a disease that attacked man. And there was no cure for it, unless God wrought a miracle. And so, when you feel to be a sinner before God with whom you have to do, and feel sin to be like a fretting leprosy, as I said, it needs a miracle of grace to bring you healing. Vain is the help of man regarding it. And then sometimes this leprosy was found in the house in which people lived. It began to show itself in unclean marks upon the walls. And then he who dwelt in the house had to go and search out the priest. And he said to him then, it seemeth to me as if there is a plague in the house. And the priest would come and examine the stones. And sometimes they would see what they could do about it and take the stones out and put others in. But sometimes it broke out again. And then the priest would come and look again. And then would go forth the verdict. The house must come down. And that is why you and I have to be carried up to the churchyard. Sin has made us mortal. Our life is mortal. Therefore, death is on the road to meet us. And the house in which you have lived so many years, some of us have lived long in our house, the tabernacle, and yet the fiat has gone forth, the house must come down, so that even if you should live to be as old as Methuselah, 969 years, it will still be said, and he died, and so will you, and so shall I. The house must come down, because I have already quoted to you, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then there is another viewpoint of leprosy. Sometimes it affected a garment, and that had to be examined by the priest. And if it was found of a truth it was infected by leprosy, then the garment must be destroyed. And now what does that teach us? It teaches us, dear young people, that your righteousness can be of no avail to you. Let it be the best garment you can put together by your good deeds and good words. When all is said and done, When God views it, it will be seen to have the leprosy of what you are by nature, infecting it, and will be valueless, and glad you will be to be stripped of it, stripped of all your fancied meekness to approach the dread I am. And now the next word is Saviour. And what a beautiful word that is. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now it speaks about Jesus Christ as a Saviour and a great one. And I can tell you this, and I have had quite a deal to do in my long ministry with people who were taught of God. Young, middle-aged and old alike. But I have never yet met any sinner concerned about his soul salvation but what he wanted a Saviour who was a great one. Because he felt to be a great sinner. Yes. And now, he shall save his people from their sins. And now, in order that salvation, which is the third word I want to look at a little later, in order that salvation should come down to poor sinners like you and me, what had to be done? When Adam fell and was driven out of Eden's garden and he had to live a different life altogether to what he had lived heretofore in Eden's garden in the midst of all created earthly happiness, God told him how he was to be worshipped as God, and he laid down a bedrock truth. And that runs right through the Word of God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so the sacrifices were instituted. The bird or the beast was slain, and the blood was shed and sprinkled before God. And I must not take up time in going into the details, for you are all aware how matters fell out between Cain and Abel. Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice and offered it in living faith unto God. And he and his offering too were accepted of God. But Cain's was rejected because he brought of the fruits of the earth. There was no shedding of blood. Oh, those fruits may have been excellent to look at, and Cain may have thought his intentions were good, but he had ignored the word of God as to how the worship of God must be carried on. And now Abel was helped to worship God aright, and Cain and his offering were rejected. And now that great truth runs all through the Old Testament, so that under the Mosaic ritual there must have been millions of birds and beasts slain, and there must have been rivers of blood that ran, that were shed. But in all of it there was no value, no virtue, no efficacy, whatever. It was only to lead the thoughts of those who worshipped and attended to the ritual of the Mosaic law that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins, and that there was one to come who should dwell on the earth in due time, and that his blood, when it was shed, would atone for the sins of all that vast host God the Father ordained to life eternal. And that was why Jesus Christ came down into this world to be seen among men as a man. He took our nature into union with his own divine nature. But it was as verily man that he suffered and shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And oh, the virtue there is in it. Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy eternal. Mercy cries. Yes. And that is a beautiful scripture. In that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. How do you, dear young people, feel about this beautiful and blessed truth, this holy doctrine? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do any of you feel like one him right or dead? You do know somewhat of what you are by nature as sinners, your need of that cleansing which the blood of Christ alone can do, but as yet you have not felt the application of it. And the hymn writer says, the fountain open stands, but on its brink I dwell. Oh, put me in with thine own hands, and that shall make me well. And it will indeed make you well, poor sinner. And meanwhile, do you wait on God? Because the word of God is wonderful regarding they that are helped to wait on him who is the sinner's friend, who delighteth in mercy. Yea, it is declared, blessed are all they that wait for him. For he shall save his people from their sins. Much might be said along that line of thought. And now there is this word salvation. And that is a great word to contemplate. And now, do listen, if you are a sinner born again, every time you gather wherever you do to worship God, you think about salvation. You think about the salvation of your own never-dying soul. And sometimes you are helped to wait on God. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And how glad you are sometimes to plead, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me, poor, guilty, wretched, hell-deserving me. Visit me with thy salvation. And now all I can say to you at this time is summed up in this. Sinner, if thou art taught to see how great thy guilt, thy misery, in every thought and act impure the blood of Christ, thy soul, can cure. You shall know his name in your own soul's experience as ointment poured forth. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and you shall know to your soul's joy in time and eternity he shall save his people from their sins. The word of Ezekiah's. I hope some of you, dear young people, may live to say it, and out of the abundance of the heart for the mouth to speak. And Hezekiah declares the Lord was ready to save me. And do remember what you have sung sometimes, and ask God to help you to take a right advantage of it and believe it. Jesus ready stands to save you. Yes. Full of pity, joined with power. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now I want to look at the subject from another viewpoint, not to be too long on any branch of it, for it is a vast subject. There are depths unfathomable in it, and we shall only be able to draw out at least a bucketful by the help of God, if as much as that. And now the next viewpoint of the subject is this. The name of Jesus, I said earlier on, is above every name. And now, it is above every name. You see, men may be given great names, and they may be known as being great because of what they are in the life they have lived and what they have done for the world in which they have lived and moved. But when you think of the name of Jesus being a name that is above every name, you must think of it, first of all, as being above every name in the meanings of it. And now my name, as far as I can remember, means a bright soldier. Not as I can say much about it from that viewpoint, but that is the one meaning of it. And now in that lovely Bible that I was presented with on my Jubilee Thanksgiving Day, I looked into it to see how many meanings of the name of Jesus were recorded therein, and lo, I left off counting when I had reached 100. And every name given was a name given to Jesus in the sacred pages from Genesis to Revelation. And every name had got a meaning, whether it was to be a vine, or a door, or a shepherd. But whatever the name was, Jesus Christ was that in the reality of it, in the meaning of it. Is he a door? I'll enter in. Yes. And what does he say? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Yes. And he says, I am the true vine. And so you might go on. But there are all these meanings given to the name of Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. But when you look into the Word of God, you can find scores of names given to him. And every name he is so worthy to bear. And he bears that name in the fullness of its meaning as the sinner's friend. Do think it over, as the Lord shall help you. And remember this, it says in the Acts of the Apostles, here is a viewpoint of his name. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Shall I read that again? Because that is just the essence of the gospel. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And do listen, dear young people, and especially those of you who are following on to know the Lord, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. So then, his name is above every name when you think of the many meanings attached to it. And every meaning he can fulfill in every jot and tittle of it. The next thought is, the name of Jesus is above every name in the simplicity of it. What could be more simple than this name, Jesus? And it means a Savior. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now there are some names given to God in the sacred pages that it might be you would feel very hesitant to let fall from your lips before God in your approaches unto him. But you are welcome to take this name, the name of Jesus, and no denial take while you plead for Jesus' sake. The next thought is this, that the name of Jesus is a name which is above every name when you think of the power of it. I read to you where the power of it was put forth in that poor man who was found at the beautiful gate of the temple. And remember how that was made plain as to how it came about. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And what Jesus Christ did then, he can do today, tomorrow. For he is Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. What did he say after he rose from the dead? I love that scripture, especially as you look round the world nowadays. All power in heaven and in earth, is given unto me. And he can exercise it. And he does exercise it. He exercises it that poor sinners shall be wrought upon and born again. The fruit of his soul's travail. Yes. And he exercises his power to change poor sinners' lives so that they no longer live unto men, but live unto God and live for God. And he can exercise his power to protect from all ill and evil. Yea, he has said that he would do it. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But there is just another thought here. A name which is above every name. It is above every name in the unchangeableness of it. You see, our names last for a while, and they might be put on our tombstone, over our grave, if there should be one, but they die out. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. So that those who lived hundreds of years ago are little thought about nowadays as to their names. Now and again a name stands out in history, but oh, this name is for time and eternity too. I sometimes allowed my thoughts to run, but you do need a sanctified imagination. If you do allow your thoughts to run, I've sometimes thought what must be the feelings of Mary as to her redeemed spirit in the realms of bliss when she remembers that it was her amazing honor to be the mother of the holy humanity of Jesus Christ, that he might be seen among men as verily man. You might think about that also. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now, coming along toward the Amen, I would just look at it from another viewpoint. I would just take the name Jesus and give you something which is indeed a blessed reality, answerable to each letter in his blessed name. I shall not say much about each item because the time is going. And now the letter J stands for joyful tidings. And you remember, do not forget it. You will soon be thinking about it. And whatever you do, let no one persuade you that it was just a myth. For the angels did sing in the silent night. And their song was heard. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And remember, the shepherds made no mistake when they said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And what they saw, what did they say about it? What they said about it is what you should think about. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You see, if Jesus Christ is made to you a reality, a living, bright reality, what you feel him to be, you should say something about it. You should say something about it to the Church of Christ, and let it be known that you have been with Jesus and that he has granted you some help by the way, some tokens for good, and given you a good hope that when he died on Calvary's cross, it was for you he hung and suffered there. For the word of God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And they should say so. J then stands for joyful tidings. And now E stands for everlasting righteousness. And it says in another part of the Gospels that Jesus Christ brought in an everlasting righteousness. And he did that, if I can make it plain to you, dear young people, in the life he lived. And it says that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And under the law, as verily man, he lived his life and kept that law in all its demands. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him we then perfection view, the saints in him are perfect too. And each one is made meet for the inheritance of the saints in life and is clothed in an everlasting righteousness. Yes. And now the letter S stands for sinners pardoned. Is that what you would like to be? A sinner pardoned? So that you can appear before God with whom you have to do, and feel that matters are right between your soul and God. Oh, it says in the word of his grace, through this man there is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And it says this, all manner of sin shall be forgiven. And now that should encourage you to hope in God. Even as the hymn writer puts it, I'll to the gracious King approach, whose scepter pardon gives. Perhaps he will command my touch, and then the suppliant lives. Yes, sinners are pardoned. A number which no man can number. When Jesus Christ declared from the cross, It is finished. All their sins were blotted out to be no more remembered against them. Blessed be God for the forgiveness of sins. And now the letter U stands for unfailing promises. And it says concerning the exceeding great and precious promises that they are all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That is, each one has got validity and God will fulfill it because Jesus Christ was born a babe and laid in the manger cradle at Bethlehem long ago. And he came down into this world to do that work which his Father laid upon him to do, love's redeeming work. Therefore, all the exceeding great and precious promises must be fulfilled to every poor sinner interested therein. He is the ever faithful God. He is the promiser. And what he promises, he can and he will and he does perform. The last S simply stands for salvation sure. Joyful tidings, everlasting righteousness, sinners pardoned, unfailing promises, and salvation sure to all those on whose behalf he came into the world to seek and to save. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now as I come toward the amen, I think of that word in Malachi. It is a great word, where it speaks of a book of remembrance being written before the Lord for they that fear the Lord and that think upon his name. See how low, I say this with great reverence, see how low the Spirit of God comes down to encourage poor sinners to hope in him as a sinner's friend. And they that think upon his name, do you do that? If you think upon his name, and think upon his name prayerfully, think upon his name longingly, hopefully, if you feel that to ponder his name in your heart is as ointment poured forth, and there is a fragrance in your thoughts as you think about the name of Jesus, the Lord bless you. He has blessed you already, and he will bless you much more ere long. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He has his book of remembrance for they that think upon his name. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. I like to think, and you know, I'm in the latter days of my ministry as the pastor. I was going to say, I like to think of you dear young people, some of you, you were like Ruth when she was gleaning in the fields of Boaz. And what did she say when she set out to do that? Let me now go and glean in the fields of him in whose sight I shall find grace. And now, Ruth did go gleaning in the fields of Boaz. And there came a day when Boaz came into the field. And he spoke oh so kindly to Ruth, and matters fell out well for Ruth. And some of you, dear young people, are you not gleaning in the gospel fields? If so be, you can get help by the way, a token for good, and to participate in the favor that God bears to his people. The Lord help you not to go to glean in any other field, but to continue to glean in the fields of Boaz, and you will find to your soul's joy, in his time his way, he who is a greater than Boaz will come into the field where you are, and he will speak kindly to you, and glad you will be to hear his voice, and he will make it plain that you belong to him and his. Yes. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now there is just one more thing I want to refer to, and that is what I have told you in earlier addresses once or twice, but I'm going to tell you again. And I think perhaps you need to be told more than once or twice or thrice. Now, many years ago, over 90 years ago, there was a little girl in Union Chapel, and she was invited to come to Union Chapel by another little friend who worshipped there, and she came. And at the end of the service, she was given a little card, a picture card, with a verse on it. And it was this: O Saviour, may we never rest till thou art formed within, till thou hast calmed our troubled breast and crushed the power of sin. And now the Lord lodged that in that little girl's heart, and she became a worshipper under Union Chapel roof for a while. Then she was moved elsewhere, and ultimately she landed at Ebenezer Chapel, Ashford, and there she became a member. And there she lived an honourable profession of the name of Jesus. And some years ago I had the privilege to see all that was mortal of her well laid in the grave. She lived well, and she died well. And one thing I've never forgotten, and that was, she worked hard, she filled a niche in life, and then she became a pensioner. And she felt that she did not really want the pension, so she kept heaping the money up together. And when it came to something like about a couple of £100, she gathered it all together and went to see the deacon of Ebenezer Chapel, Ashford, and handed it over to him with her love for the carrying on of the cause of truth, because that was where her heart was. And now that all began under Union Chapel roof when she was a little girl. She wasn't even a teenager. I judge she was about 8 or 9. When she died, which was some few years ago, I don't know quite what her age was, but I know that it's nearly 100 years ago that she was found under Union Chapel roof like that. And it seemed just by chance that she came in. She was just asked by another fellow girl to come in and worship, and the Lord met with her, and now her redeemed spirit is in the realms of bliss. Oh, what wonders the grace of God has done and can do, and we hope it will yet do round about us in our cause and in other causes and round about where they are. But it all comes to this. This is the beginning, and this is the ending of it. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What did you sing? Did you think about it? There is a name which fills with praise the countless hosts of heaven. And there are some to whom the joy of naming it is given, who even in their childhood learn towards the cross their eyes to turn, and love the name of Jesus. Dear young people, what can I say more than the blessing of the Lord be upon you in time and eternity. Amen.